This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3. The Fan from the 469. In one of my leagues, someone lost by 0.06. That's less than 2 yards passing. Ouch. And then I am going to work on my reading comprehension. Alex Highsmith, all the statistics I told you were true. However, what I should have said, what I meant to say, well, or I just read it wrong, was he did all this against Chris Hubbard, who was signed off the 49ers practice squad just 10 days ago. So I mistakenly said Alex Highsmith was it was actually Chris Hubbard.
Okay.
The player that he was going up against, the left tackle, who came off of the 49ers practice squad. Sorry about that. Now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that, Kevin. Thanks for that lead in as well. I got three things I want to talk about here. Number one, what's the best tough love advice you've ever been given? Because Sean Payton, after beating the snot out of the Panthers, J.C. Horn was like, hey, man, I didn't like how you guys were trying to run the score up on us. And Sean Payton said, play better. That was his reply back. And honestly, if you're the Panthers, play better, right? Like if you're better, you won't get scored on. But Sean Payton was basically like, look, we're trying to finish the game the right way. We're not trying to run the score up. We're just trying to finish the right way. And, you know, honestly, the Broncos still trying to become a good team. Like they have a good record right now, but are they a good team? They probably need more reps being a good team. So they're out there doing their thing, trying to be good. The Lions ran the score up on the Cowboys. They wanted to. They scored a lot of points last week because like they had no other choice because everything was that open for them. But in this situation, Panthers, bad football team, not happy that somebody ran the score up on them because they want the participation trophy. So what is the best tough love advice that you've ever gotten in your life?
Man, I don't think this got said directly to me, but I envision being on a team with Mike. So I'm still thinking about this. I envision being on a team with Mike and he says my name wrong and he's like, oh, play better and I'll learn your name. And that didn't even actually happen, but you could see how that would be the case, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd say that.
You've said that about other players that like you. I don't know his name. Was it number 29 on the Cowboys special?
Yeah, he's like, hey, learn how to play better. And
yeah, I don't even know his name.
Learn your name.
Hurt guy.
I had
hurt on the run play to the right.
When I went to junior college, I'd left the IT stuff to come pursue this career. And I was like, I wanted to write newspaper stuff and all that stuff. And my instructor, Kevin, I actually talked about this with her at our celebration of life for our friend Zach because she was there. One of the greatest women I've ever met, man. She's phenomenal. Marjorie Lewis. She's the first woman to ever cover the Cowboys.
Oh, wow.
And I had a newspaper design that I thought was awesome and I turned it in. I was like, it's ready to go for this week. She turned that thing back to me and it was dripping red, just dripping red. And she went and pointed out everything that she wouldn't do on there, all the things that she would change.
We're talking about blood.
And then she just, no, it felt that way, Mike. It really did. And then she looked at me and she said, I just think you're capable of better.
That's nice.
And I was like, oh crap. Like you just complimented me. For one, while also making me feel like I'm not good enough. So I did. I went back and I fixed it. And she was like, this is what I'm talking about. So, yeah. And since then, I always kind of had that standard of can I do a little better than what I'm doing right now? And so I think that was always great, great advice there. And that's what I say with my kids a lot of times, too. I'm like, I know you're smart. I've watched you your whole life. I know you're capable of these things.
Yeah.
So why? What's the reason? What's keeping you from it? Is it laziness? Because that's not acceptable.
I guess for me, I mean, there's plenty of it, but the one that really helped me out was in 2000, I'd been sent down to A ball, and my manager at the time was Brad Kaminsk, and I was having a bad year with a bad attitude, ticked off at how I was getting treated. And he said, "You're getting effed. You're right. You are. You're getting completely effed. But what am I supposed to do now? You have a 6 ERA. How am I supposed to call up?" Neil Huntington at the time was our farm director, ended up being general manager of the Pirates a little bit later in his career. But it's like, what am I supposed to do? I can't recommend you to go back to Double A. You're horrible. And he's like, "I don't know what to do with you. You're going to still get the ball right now, but I can't send you to Double A. I can't recommend you to Double A." Yes. And he said, "Everybody gets effed in this game unless you're Roger Clemens or Ken Griffey Jr." So,
and they kind of,
he's like, "You're going to have to pretty much deal with it and figure out how to pitch well enough that I can actually make a phone call and say you're ready to go back to Double A."
And then you did.
And I did. And then I went to Triple A that year.
There you go. That's what I'm
then
talking
the next
about.
Year, I became the Bob Feller Minor League Pitcher of the Year and won 10 whole games in the major league.
Hell yeah.
For a whole career. Only lost 13 and had an ERA in the mid-5.
You had more than one. Oh. You had one at least. That's badass.
Yeah.
That's like, Jesse, I'm always like, dude, that one catch.
And people looked at my stuff
touchdown.
And said, "How in the world did you win one, let alone 10?
Oh.
You trick-effed them.
I know. I didn't like when Jim Bowden would say that either.
Alec, do you have...
He never treated me nice.
Do you have a word of advice that you got?
Yeah, it was when I took journalism class in high school, I think sophomore year. I was dedicated to being a writer. I really thought I was going to be a writer. My neighbor across the street was Brandon George. He was with the Dallas Morning News forever.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be like him when I was growing up. And my teacher, Miss Schultz, one day, she
it
pulled me aside.
Wasn't Nate Wood?
This is what led to me meeting Nate Wood.
Oh, interesting.
She pulls me aside and she was like, "I know you're a good writer. I think you're a lot better at talking about these things than you are writing about these things. Oh. So I'm going to link you up with a guy named Nate Wood, and I think you should take his classes at Ben Barber."
Did she say Nate Wood or Mr. Wood?
I think it was Nate Wood because I needed the right name to find, you know, in the directory and everything. I ended up getting approved to get into his class, and now I'm here.
And I've met you.
Yes.
You had a haircut and everything.
Yeah, I actually cut my hair back then. I met Mike at a remote at a place that doesn't exist in Mansfield anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Shout out Smokey Mays. Rest in peace.
Oh, now he's a hippie.
Because he has long hair?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, because of what Alex said, that has reminded me of the advice that hurt.
Oh, the one that hurt?
And they were trying to help, and they told me a lesson that I probably should have learned a little bit earlier. We were doing youth and government and mock trial in high school because I knew how to party. And so we got to try these cases in front of like actual Metroplex judges. And so our team, we had three lawyers on each team. Our team lost one of the rounds and I was, of course, super mad about that. And one of the judges pulled me to the side and said, "Hey, if this is really what you want to do with your life, I really think you could do it. Just... you need to become a prosecuting attorney. Do not be a defense attorney. You are not very empathetic. And like, it's probably hard for people to like feel bad for you." And I was like, "Oh, okay, great."
That brings up a point because I just finished Suits, 9 seasons, yes. Fantastic show. And to the idiot out there that keeps saying that we didn't correct it, we just corrected it, you dumbass. They did four mock trials on the show. The mock trials and the prosecutor guy had to go in on people. And I mean, he made every one of them just melt on this. Because when you're doing a mock trial, you got
to prepare
people
for the worst. Yes, absolutely.
And so like that part of it was just like, oh, I loved it. Kevin suggested a mock trial for this station. Because there was a situation outside of these facilities that happened with one Zach Wolchuk and Sean Sharif. And I think, should it be on this show that we do run the mock trial?
Because we're unbiased. Because otherwise, there's a party...
On each show.
On each show.
Yeah.
He just calmly dropped in the dumb A.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That guy was being irritating. Nice.
Really?
One guy, yeah.
What's his phone number?
I'm not going to read his entire phone number.
Just read 8 out of the 9 numbers.
I will not.
It's all right. He can be easily ignored.
Yes.
But the...
I want to know who it is.
I really do want to pursue this and do it during the express, the lunch rush.
Yeah.
The expressway, because I think 40 minutes of that would be fantastic content.
Look, I'm here for it, but I'm not one of
the parties. I got to figure out who's going to be the judge,
involved.
We got to figure out the judge situation.
Who is the fairest person at the station?
The fairest person at the station. Alec has fair skin.
I guess we're supposed to ask the mirror?
This is true.
Yeah.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It can't be Carter. Carter has
definite
allegiances.
We should all go to the bathroom together.
And it can't be Mike. Because he'll be like, I'm sorry, I zoned out for like the last 8 minutes. I didn't really hear
That's
anything that you said.
I think that you have to really be good at your job.
Yeah, I think this could be a very fun thing that we could put together, though.
Hey, Zach Wolchuk, if you can hear me, come on in here.
Nah.
All right, he can't hear you, apparently. The other thing, last night my son asked if I would get tickets to March 12th's Tyler, the Creator concert with him.
Oh, okay.
And he's... 13.
Okay.
And I was like, or 12. I'm sorry. He's 12. And I was like, well, first off, somebody's got to go with you. And obviously use the Game Time app because then the fees aren't hidden and everything.
You don't want to go with him?
I was like, I'll go. But I asked his older brother, hey, do you want to go? And he was like, no. He used to love Tyler, the Creator. And I don't know. Should I go, or is that weird for me to be at a concert with my kid like that?
No, because you're the parent. Like, I don't think people are going to go, who the hell is this guy? They're like, he's probably brought his kid. Now, let me ask you this.
CA for judge.
Oh, that's a good answer. Judge. That is a very
good
answer.
He was connected to G-Bag for a while, so
there's
allegiance there.
Does your older son pretend like he never liked Tyler, the Creator? Because, man... My son Brandon used to freaking love 21 Pilots.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, him and his friends are like, whatever, that music's dumb. And I was like, my ass.
Didn't you also walk in on him and his whole basketball team singing a Justin Bieber song?
Yeah, that was a Justin Bieber song. Man. And I was like, guys, the game's about to start. And they were throwing their jerseys in the air. And
a lot of A's in this segment.
But yeah, he loved 21 Pilots. And now they're like, the music's so dumb. I never liked it. And I was like, oh, please.
From the 469, if you're going to go, take your son. You need to go in with a very open mind. I've seen some performances and I've listened to them. I mean, like I said, my oldest was listening to them for a while. So I'm just trying to figure out, is that, would my son think it's cool that I'm there with him, that dad showed up? And
if that's
my dad's cool.
Maybe not. But if that's the only way he can get there, then I bet he'll
probably
be fine with it.
Also, somebody texted in earlier. This was an actual constructive text. and they said that they think 70 rushing touchdowns is a Hall of Fame.
Oh my God.
And so I went to the list.
Okay. That's a good question.
All right. So I went to the list. Emmitt Smith, 164. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
LaDainian Tomlinson, Marcus Allen.
Yes. Yes.
Adrian Peterson's at 120.
I think he's a Hall of
Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. Walter Payton, Jim Brown, John Riggins. Sean Alexander has 100 rushing touchdowns.
Because I guess my initial thought is not really.
He is not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's like borderline at best to me.
Yeah.
Marshall Faulk also has 100.
For sure.
But
he just feels different with Marshall Faulk.
Too.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is at 99.
He's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders, Jerome Bettis, Franco Harris, Eric Dickerson, Curtis Martin. All right, so that's the top 15 right there.
Yeah.
At 16, Priest Holmes has 86 and is not a Hall of Famer.
And I don't look at him as being a Hall of Famer. I actually might be kind of iffy on Curtis Martin, too. I mean, I know he made it, so good for him. But so I don't think Zeke will sniff the Hall of Famer.
He dominated the NFL for 2 years?
Doesn't have a championship, doesn't have any championship games yet. Marshawn Lynch is at 85. That dude is famous. That is a famous running back.
He is.
He is one of those that when you talk about the NFL, you're like, oh, yeah, dude, that's a personality in addition to he had some tough runs.
If it really was Hall of Fame for just like big personalities, I think he would be a first ballot no-brainer.
So here are some other ones that have 70 and are not in. Corey Dillon, Otis Anderson, Frank Gore deserves it. Ricky Waters. Pete Johnson, Cam Newton has 75.
Pete Johnson,
Clinton Portis.
I think he did our board yesterday.
That looks like a Peter to me. Terry Allen, LeSean McCoy, and Chuck Muncy, all not in the Hall of Fame.
And don't those all sound like not Hall of Famers? Really?
I feel like if you want that number to matter and just that number, and we don't look at your dominance at all, then it has to get to 100.
Yeah.
Like if Zeke got to 100 rushing touchdowns.
Or Sean Alexander is. Yeah. But he also was at a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I think that's like, it kind of sounds, there's different circumstances for all of these, but it sounds like 100 might be close to the number where.
Like that's like 3,000 hits. Like deal with it, Craig Biggio haters. Like he got to 3,000 hits.
I'm
like
one of those people.
Like if you got to 3,000 hits and you're not really, you know, in that like major steroid era where they're like, yeah, his whole career changed because of steroids, then it's like, I'll give that. If that person wants to give 100 is like the magic number and you're in no matter what, then I can kind of get down with that. But I don't think Zeke would make, he maybe gets into the top 50 as they cut down, and his career is going to be over either at the end of this year or next year. Like he might get lucky enough for somebody to give him a job next year, and that's it.
And for that person specifically at 70, the cutoff at 69, nice, Steven Jackson, Gerald Riggs, and yes, Kevin, Steve Van Buren, just like you always knew.
Dude, Steve Van Buren used to be awesome.
Yeah, he did.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Some team that probably doesn't exist anymore. Coming up next.
Feels like a giant with Otto
Graham. Or, what was that last name you used?
Schmato.
Otto Schmato.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up next, the Tuesday tailgate. Do you take any of these teams seriously? And how the hell did SMU win that game? Let's talk about it all next right here on The Fan.
Guys who love to play. Leonard, deep ball, has a receiver open. Bo Collins, touchdown Irish.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time for the Tuesday tailgate. As always, to help us out with this, we bring in learned college football expert Carter Freeman.
That's me.
Who may or may not have struggled on some college football picks this weekend.
Yeah, I almost texted you about that. Kevin texted me about four games, and I told him to switch those four to the other team, and one of them was right, so I didn't go 0-for.
If it helps, I did not take your advice on the Texas Tech game, even though that game was
I was so close.
Crazy.
I was so mad I got that one wrong. But to TCU's credit, to come back on an 80-plus yard touchdown in the final couple minutes, that was incredible.
Okay, which game was more, let's just say, fun and entertaining? So is it TCU-Texas Tech, or let's go to cut number 14, was it Duke and SMU?
Three to the right, Pankole to the boundary at the left. Here's Murphy, buying time to his right, throws, and incomplete! No flags, SMU wins!
SMU became the first team since Marshall in 2011 to have a -6 turnover margin and win.
Wow.
Their head coach said, we should have lost that game 5 different times. We should have. If we played it 100 times, we'd probably lose it 99 times the way the game unfolded. It just happened to be this one time. So, first off, which game was more entertaining? And then, secondly, how the hell did SMU win?
I'll go with the Tech-TCU game is more entertaining, but because it depends on how you look at entertaining. If you like turnovers, then, you know, sick football, then yes, the SMU-Duke game was absolutely entertaining. But the other thing about them turning SMU turning the ball over so much, they had a 14-point lead in that game, too.
Yep.
While they were turning the ball over and over and over, and Duke came back and was, you know, had the chance to win there at the very end of the game. SMU, if you haven't seen the highlight, the SMU defender cleanly jumps over the Duke center to block that kick. It's an incredible highlight. Definitely go watch it, but what was funny to me is earlier in the day, Notre Dame beats Navy. Navy turns the ball over six times. I'm writing my article for 105.3thefan.com. I say it's really hard to win a game when you turn the ball over six times. Lo and behold, later this evening, SMU does exactly that, and they win.
It is
that's
quite
college football.
Amazing.
That's magic.
Now, for SMU, Corey, as you predicted before the season, a top 20 clash between a combined 14-0 Pittsburgh and SMU team. There is still discussion about whether or not Pittsburgh will have their regular starting quarterback back. Are you, how shocked are we that both of these, I'm sorry, 14-1. How shocked are we that both of these teams are in the top 20 going into this game?
I guess I should be, but Carter, you were in Friday, right?
Yes.
We were just out. Mm-hmm. So did you hear the segment we did on college football and the 1 year turnarounds and how that's all kind of happening?
I don't think I did.
Okay, it was during the C block last week, and we discussed that a little bit, Kevin. I guess maybe we shouldn't be shocked by this anymore.
That's true.
These things are going to start happening more often because, you know, schools that have been waiting for an opportunity like this, they have money available and they're ready to make something like this happen.
And we talked about it ever since SMU announced they're moving to the ACC, is that they have the money. They've wanted to make this move for a long time. And SMU was a good team last year. They won the American in their last year in that conference. So I don't think it's as surprising. With Pitt, it's absolutely shocking. They were 3-9 last year. And you talk about these 1 year turnarounds, it's mostly like a Miami or like a school that you would expect to have a lot of money. Pitt, I do not look at as this perennial football powerhouse. So to see them just completely flip the script and kind of beat the crap out of a lot of teams on their schedule too, that's the most shocking thing.
Although on the flip side, the Cincinnati game, West Virginia game, and Cal game, I could have all seen go either way. So props to them for winning those games. But they have bounced between like throttling and barely eking by people.
And their last game, they didn't win that game so much as Kyle McCord and Syracuse lost it.
Yeah.
Three pick sixes in the first half. So they've had some results like that go their way, but they're from year to year, Pitt is playing like a much, maybe, I don't think they're a top 20 team. Like, they're undefeated. They're much better than they were last year, but I don't think just because they're undefeated, that means they are one of the 20 best teams in the country.
Yeah, because I think we're all understanding that Vanderbilt is becoming one of the best teams in the country.
I mean, they put up a heck of a fight. That is a good
team. I'm just surprised they're 5-3, I think, is what I'm like, hold on, when did that happen?
They held Texas to 6 points in the second half of that game. Like, they had a very good shot to win.
Okay, so let's talk about that game then. So Quinn Ewers starts out that game unbelievable, 18 for 19. And then as you watch the game go along, he has multiple turnovers. I know there is concern that sometimes you will see him turnover happy, but Sarkisian came out and was like, that's a hell of an effort, gritty effort. I'm proud of him for sticking it in there. What are we to make of Quinn Ewers, who's gone from Heisman favorite to top draft pick to should he be benched and everywhere in between this year?
It's probably due to the injury that he suffered too.
Fair.
I think that definitely has something to do with it, because in every game that since he's come back from that injury, starting with the OU game, he's had at least one turnover, if not two, you know, multiple. The other thing with Texas, I feel at times Sark will get in his own way with his play calling. I think in the second half, it's just the way he can manage the clock, the way he just doesn't approach it in a way that I think makes it as easy for his players as it could be. This was a lot more relevant when the talent on Texas was a lot worse. Like in his first year, they would have leads early in these games, and then the way Sark would call his plays combined with the talent would cause them to lose those games. Now Texas is much more talented. They have the dogs on there to win these close kind of games, but there's still times where I look at it as, you're working with a quarterback who may still be dealing with an injury, and you're not calling the game in a way that allows you to put it away against, I mean, let's be real, Vanderbilt's a lot better this year than we thought.
Sure.
Texas should have beaten them by 20 if you look at the talent between both teams.
Now, Corey, I know this is what you've really wanted to talk about, the Sunflower Showdown. How invested were you in the Sunflower Showdown, and do you think Carter knows what that is?
I think Carter absolutely knows what
Carter?
That is.
What is the Sunflower Showdown and how did it play out?
That would have happened in Little Manhattan this weekend in Kansas, Kansas State and Kansas. And Kansas State beat their in-state rivals KU for the 16th straight year.
That is correct.
16 years in a row. That's domination.
They thwarted a Kansas field goal with a 1:42 left to go, 51 yarder. All right. I want to get back to Pitt and maybe BYU and Indiana in just a second. Here's a team that everybody takes seriously, but how serious should they? Ohio State. Is Ohio State
question.
Overrated? Ohio State beat Nebraska in a very competitive game. This is the same Nebraska game that just got its butt handed to them last week against Indiana. Is Ohio State overrated?
I think that kind of doesn't that help, though, Nebraska, in that they just got their rear ends taken care of.
For sure.
And they knew this is an opportunity to talk, like, they were up for that game.
They put up a fight. Yeah, I thought they were going to win, honestly.
Yeah. They had the ball late with a chance to go ahead. It took a final interception from Dylan Raiola, the Nebraska quarterback, who he didn't even have a good game, and Nebraska was still in that game the entire time. Ohio State could not run the ball versus Nebraska, and they have two running backs I think will be at the very least day two picks in Quinshon Judkins and Trayvon Henderson. Those are good players. Ohio State has 4 and 5 stars littered across their offensive line, and you can't run against Nebraska. Like you said, a week after they lost by 49 to Indiana, that is super concerning.
Now, Indiana, BYU in Pittsburgh. I know we mentioned Pittsburgh just a minute ago, but we're 8 games into the season. Indiana still hasn't trailed. That's the first time a team's done that in at least 20 years.
Indiana, of all teams, has not trailed.
Of those 3 teams, who do you take seriously? Who do y'all not take seriously?
I mean, I have to take Indiana seriously.
I think you're right.
Because their coach told me to Google him, and then I did, and he wins. So he's right about
that.
What
a season to back that up, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, dude.
They're 8-0, and he's like, told you.
Yeah.
Google me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that was the confidence he had in, A, the players he brought with him that he knew, and, B, the players that he knew he was going to be able to acquire with the money that Indiana was able to give him to – was it 400% up was the number I think I threw out there of the money that they were able to use NIL wise. So yeah, I think he had that much confidence.
I absolutely believe in Indiana, and I believe in 3 weeks Indiana plays at Ohio State, so they could both be undefeated going
into
that game.
Indiana and game in
the history of the school.
Yeah, I could see that for football at least.
They've never won 10 games in their history. They've won 9 games like twice. If they're 10-0 going into that game, there is no way that is not the biggest game in Hoosiers football history. I'm also 100% buying BYU because listen to the rest of their schedule. They're off this weekend.
That's the only team that beat SMU, right?
Yes. And which looks like now that's a great loss for SMU. We thought earlier in the season BYU wasn't going to be anything, but BYU's remaining schedule is at Utah. So it's a rivalry game. You never know what's going to happen in that, but the way Utah's looked, they've lost 4 in a row now. BYU looks like the much better team. Home against Kansas, at Arizona State, home against Houston. You're playing the bottom half of the Big 12 for the rest of the year. I don't see any reason with how good they've looked against the other teams they've played that they shouldn't be 12-0 going into the Big 12 championship game in December.
Is Miami going to have a big ding on them because they don't have anybody ranked on their schedule? I'm looking at their schedule right now. I don't see anybody they've beaten. They're undefeated. Well, they don't have anybody on the schedule right now that has a number next to them.
So you're worried it could like cost them a bye or something?
I'm kind of curious about that. Like, will people look at it that way? If they're an undefeated 8-0, or they're 8-0
right now. They
would
still match up with Clemson, in the ACC championship.
Or potentially SMU, if Clemson
slips up. That's a good point.
There's a scenario where Miami, Clemson, and SMU are all undefeated, or Pitt are all undefeated in ACC play, and one of them would get left out of the championship game and potentially left out of the playoff. But that's a story for another time. With Miami, I believe when they beat Cal was ranked because that was game day. I think Cal was ranked at that point. So they beat teams who were ranked at the time. So you can go to wins like that.
Yeah.
But if you want to go by the end of the season, they might not have a ranked win. You could look at Texas the same way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Michigan, OU, they were ranked when they beat them. They look like crap now. So that argument I don't look at so much as just the way they've looked on the field. And they took an admittedly really bad Florida State team to the woodshed this weekend, but they've just looked good enough in most of their games. There's enough to look at with their team that, if you look at the ranked wins, maybe not. But the way the team plays, they're absolutely deserving of a playoff spot now.
I know we talked about this game some yesterday, but I want to fire off cut number 16. Is this gentleman right here about to shake up college football?
Got Le'Veon Moss to his left. You'd figure they would feed him down here. They do. Keeper. He pulled him and scores. One play touchdown drive, and the Aggies
reclaim momentum and cut into this lead. Happened in a hurry.
Marcel Reed comes in, and make no mistake about it, LSU's defense was dominating that game. Reed comes in. I know they got turnovers too, but totally turns the game around, puts A&M or keeps A&M in a position to matter in the SEC. How big of a deal was this win, and is Marcel Reed?
I think it's huge. I think what A&M showed me in the second half was everything that they expected to be with Jimbo. Because you look, a lot of the talent that Jimbo brought in is still there. Some of the bigger names might have left, but a lot of those really, really good defensive players still on the roster. Then you bring in Mike Elko, who actually has discipline, accountability.
He's not a politician.
He's not a politician. I also kind of thought that might have been a shot at Brian Kelly, the coach he was playing as well. I thought it could have gone either way, but Marcel Reed comes in. He has more passing yards on his one long pass than Connor Wegman did in the entire game that he'd played up to that point. It was incredible to watch A&M basically do the same thing over and over and over and just find a way to just mow LSU down. And like you said, LSU's dominating. If LSU has a kicker, this game's completely different. Their kicker misses three kicks, and the third one that he missed, it snapped early, goes straight into the placeholder's face. A&M recovers, drives right down the field, and scores. So I think this is huge. I think A&M is absolutely for real. They jumped into the top 10, like around 10 or 9. I would have vaulted them up even higher. I think that's how talented, how good this roster is. I thought this back when they lost to Notre Dame, that they may have lost that game, but there was a lot of really good stuff they showed in that game. Now they got a shot at another ranked team, and they showed out.
Oregon and Dylan Gabriel, obviously they've been playing very well. That is the one team that took down Ohio State by 1 point. How confident are you, not only they continue, but that they're going to be a bye and they're going to be a major, they're going to get a bye and be a major player in the playoff?
I picked them as my national champion before the season, so okay. I totally bought into them. I was definitely scared away early in the year when they barely beat FCS Idaho and then nearly lost to Boise State.
Yeah.
A good group of five team, but a team Oregon should still be way more talented than and beat. They've definitely come into their own. And I mean, after the Ohio State game, they shut out Purdue. They just look like they're on a completely different level than a ranked Illinois team that they played this last weekend. The speed difference was incredible watching the Oregon players fly around the field. Illinois looked like they were playing in the era of the uniforms they wore last weekend.
Right.
Like they just look so much slower. So Oregon's got Michigan at Michigan this weekend. And then a pretty, you know, some of the lesser teams in the Big Ten to end the season. I'm rebought into them. If I ever lost any faith in them, I'm absolutely rebought into them.
Anything else on the college football front you think we need to know?
Do you guys know what the battle for the golden screwdriver is? You quizzing me on rivalry names earlier?
There's no chance I know.
It's Pitt and SMU? Penn State.
You're on the completely wrong side of the country.
Right.
It is Hawaii and Fresno State. And I found out about this today. They're playing this weekend. I saw that name. I was like, why did this name get this rivalry? In like the early 2000s, a Fresno State fan threw a screwdriver at head coach June Jones for Hawaii.
It's dangerous.
So then they made a golden screwdriver as like an unofficial trophy to give out to the winner of that rivalry. I didn't know. Like Hawaii is kind of one of those, you know, fun teams you stay up late and watch because they're sicko like me. Fresno State's actually the team they've played the most. So there's a lot of history. I'm like, Hawaii, Fresno State, what is that? They've actually played 80-something times. So I just thought that was a fun nugget.
Excellent insight from Carter Freeman. By the way, on the NFL front, Deontay Johnson, along with a sixth-round pick, getting sent to the Ravens for a fifth-round pick. So if it makes it simpler for you, they swap down from a fifth-round pick to a sixth-round pick to pick up Deontay Johnson. The Ravens did.
Cowboys could make a play for a player,
because that's the
right?
kind of deal you're like, hold on, we drop one round from five to six and you get that player.
They can make a play for somebody, right?
Mike Irvin says they need to do something. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here. Whoops. On 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Snap to Prescott. They will throw it on first down. Deep ball down the left side. Double coverage. And it's intercepted at the 8-yard line. Jumped by Jair Brown. Stepped in front of Turpin. And the Cowboys have turned it over on their second possession of the game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we got a lot to get to in crosstalk here. Thank you very much to D&M Leasing for making it happen. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Heggie. I am fired up for Flagtober's final day, which is tomorrow.
Hell yeah. And where
Whataburger in Grand Prairie, 2630 State Highway 161. I'm reading your mind, Heggie.
And thank you very much. Grand Prairie was great to us last week. Mm. I did learn a fun fact that somebody in this room, if they choose to reveal themselves, perhaps said that some of our fans are smelly. And I had never realized that before. Corey,
we're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine on Friday. So if you bring your best smells.
Or don't.
Bring your best smells. Yeah.
We're going to smell you live on air, is what we're going to do. So come on up and we to Buffalo Wild Wings off of 114 in Grapevine and we'll smell you.
Is that a deterrent for people? They're like, I want to go see the show, but I don't want Corey to come smell.
Well,
me.
What if they
hopefully it's a deodorant for some people?
Yeah, put on your best smell, you know, for that.
Okay. Put on your Sunday best. Come see you. Yeah, come see you.
Come on.
Okay.
If you don't wear deodorant, you could smell. If you have urinated in your clothes that you're currently wearing, you could smell. If you just hotboxed your vehicle, it does not go away in between the time you walk from your vehicle to the front door.
Okay.
Yeah, that I'm sorry.
Wait a second. I thought it did.
No.
Oh, damn it.
I have no idea how you would know about that either.
Spell
way.
Me the whole time?
Now, that was the voice.
I think you're part of it.
That was the voice of Zach Wolchuk, who may or may not be the plaintiff in our proposed 105.3 The Fan mock trial.
Mm-hmm, that's
now,
true.
Now, we have pitched this a lot off air. Zach, do you you probably said this yesterday. Do you care to tell us about the incident at the potential defendant Mr. Sharif's house?
Yeah, I was just hanging out on what I thought was a lovely swing in the backyard with my daughter. And we were hanging out, having a good time. We were talking with Eric and Marion and everybody else that was at the party. Wife was out there. Next thing I know, things become a little uneven. And the chair tilts back. We fall right into the water. Baby submerged. I'm submerged. I ended up getting battle wounds from this as well.
Just disappointed Sean's negligence nearly got my co-host injured.
Oh,
his baby injured, which could have caused additional psychological trauma. We might have had a concussion on board yesterday. I feel like Wolchuk had a solid 9.5 out of 10. Cowboys Monday could have been a full 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's significant damages here.
We would like to volunteer
punitive
as
damages.
The forum
for
this mock trial as you are in G-Bag. Sean Sharif is in the morning show. We are in the middle. We are unbiased.
Judge and jury.
Yeah. Yes. We would like to facilitate your mock trial.
I for one, would trust these guys with my life.
Yeah, I'm in on this. I might need you as a witness since you were right there, saw the whole thing. I'm less worried about myself, guys. I'm mainly worried about the trauma that I think my daughter's now gone.
And how old is your little sweet baby?
You can't put a price on that.
She's only 8 months old.
Or can you?
And last night, the poor thing is asleep, and she's crying in her sleep. She's having a nightmare.
Oh, I think we need to call her to the stand.
And what do you think she was having a nightmare about, boys?
Being crashing.
Submerged. Nearly drowning.
Yes.
Yeah. Her first
something to do with
new
water.
Fear unlocked.
Yeah.
And the dad guilt that I'm now dealing with for something that was out of my control.
Man.
Well, I'm glad you didn't take
Are
it
you
into
predisposed
your own hands.
To high levels of guilt already?
Yes. Not at all. This is the first time he's ever dealt with this. What do you mean?
I'm Jewish. Jewish guilt's a real thing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You'll filter the fish.
Thank the real you. JGZ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is a wonderful idea. So would you like to press station charges at the moment?
Ah, this is a terrible idea.
If you press it, press it with your other hand because that one's hurt bad.
USOBs. Oh.
Consider it pressed.
You all hate.
Oh! Oh!
There it is.
Wow. You all hate me.
Wow.
No. None of you guys like me.
We have to get some character witnesses. I'm all in on this, man.
Hopefully, if you could plan a surprise witness too, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Like to call to the stand. What?
Oh my gosh.
All right.
I can't believe that person was there for
we
this.
We will work on the potential 105.3 The Fan mock trial. Now, on a more serious note, I know Michael Irvin, he is very passionate about a lot of things.
Yep. He's quit now, hasn't he?
And about Cowboys football, he said, you have to make a trade deadline deal. That's the only way. Yeah. And when Dak was talking about, we've been here in 2018, that was when they traded for Amari Cooper, and that helped turn the season around. I don't think it's going to happen, but do you think the Cowboys are to the point where only a trade can turn the season around?
I'm at the point where there isn't one single trade that can do anything.
That's
to help
a fair
you.
Point.
And I think you feel I don't want them to do some Hail Mary thing. You've spent the entire semester doing nothing, and now you just want to at the midway point you want to try and take an exam to try and help your grade. It's too far gone, dude.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything player acquisition wise throughout the entire offseason. to give you any reason to believe that you're one player away or two players away or three players away. You would be the Jets with Devontae Adams.
That's what I was saying. Just useless. Say the Jets are your example of the trying to make something happen. And it's
you got to earn the right to be a buyer at the at the deadline. Yeah. You didn't haven't come anywhere close to that.
That team was a wide receiver away. You know, it had nothing on the outside. And it was had a massive hole on the team. And it was obvious that there are a lot of other good stuff going on with the team. But, you know, this thing would require probably two or three trades, but I am up for making a trade that can help 2025 and 2026 and maybe make you better now and make you less of an embarrassment now. And that is a two for Cooper Kupp, who the Rams are willing to throw in even more money on to offset your salary cap hit. You need bargains against the cap and good players. And Cooper Kupp's going to help you a lot more than whatever high-risk second rounder they take in April.
All right.
Like what Dawson just did there. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. Hagee, thanks so much for asking. We got stuff. We do. We have, it's a triple guest Tuesday. Ted Wynn at 4, Stink at 4:40, and Golic Jr. there at 6.
All right. Yeah. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. I want that to be your new slogan. We got stuff. Weave of the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say mock trial, Kevin.
Mock trial with Jay Reinhold. It was a hell of an effort, gritty effort. I'm proud of him for sticking it in there.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.